Did anybody tell you they loved you today? I do. My name is Minnie O'Donnell, and I'm a very grateful recovering alcoholic, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. Out of my league. You know, this man sat at the table with me for dinner tonight, and he tried to pick my brain. You know, what he really wanted to do was get me to tell him my story so he wouldn't have to sit in here and listen to it. But you see, he doesn't know me, because I don't know what I'm going to say either. I'm supposed to tell you people what it was like, what I had to do, and where I'm at tonight. And just picked up the second step. You don't cover 76 years in 45 minutes. It's impossible. I came from Tobacco Road. I'm going to talk to the new young people here tonight. I thought if I got away from home, I wouldn't know anybody. I know half the people in this world. That's what happens to you when you hang around this long. I went to Sunday school because we didn't have a truant officer. I haven't always been this old. We didn't have to go to school. My mother and father didn't have to go to school, and they had to scratch out a living for us, so I didn't think it was necessary that we should go. As a result, I came into this program an uneducated drunk. In 1954, bum, streetwalker, or whatever you want to call them, because alcoholic women were not acceptable, not even in these rooms. We stayed in a wire fence, and my mother and father worked at a cotton mill. And I hate to say this word because it makes me sick. It's a cop-out. I'm going to talk about me and my opinions that do not belong to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't get them from my AA group. I'm a rebel, sober rebel, and I try to be gut-level honest. And if only one person in this room hears me tonight, I'll be perfectly happy. And if you don't, I got rid of what I needed to up here, because I have your attention, and a lot of you are ashamed to get up and walk out. So it's my 45 minutes. I hate the word dysfunctional family. It's a cop-out. I want you young people to know that it's a cop-out. You've had a role model that you didn't like. You know exactly what to do about it. And if you want to pick up a poor me and destroy yourself, it's your business, but you don't have to. Because it's no disgrace to go to AA today. At one time it was. We were a secret service, and you couldn't let anybody know you belonged to them. Today you can get a better job if you tell your employer that you're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and you're sober. Don't forget that. To get away from home, I went to Sunday school every Sunday for a whole year because nobody had any knives, nobody was fighting, nobody was tearing anybody's clothes off, and nobody was getting killed, and I was out of danger. When the first year was up, they pinned a little wreath up here, and the second year, they put another one. See, I was already sick. I had to go back the second year to see what they were going to give me. The third year, I went back, and I was on my way. You know, I'd still be in barred, I guess. But they promoted me to an intermediate Sunday school class, and the Escalade boy to read from the Bible did a beautiful job. Don't ask me. I just knew I wasn't going back to church no more. No more Sunday school for me. Because nobody was going to ask me to read. And I have to tell them I couldn't. Now, it was many years later in rooms like this that I found out I had learned to crawl. I had learned to walk. And that Sunday morning, I learned how to run. I saw my father chase my mother under the house in Great Falls, South Carolina, before many of you were born. I must have been 5. With a double-barrel shotgun. And he shot at her. I'll never know whether he meant to hit her or he didn't mean to hit her. I'll never know anything except it scared me to death. It scared me to death. So much so that this is the second time I've mentioned that. And I've been in this program a long time. What I did was, the minute I was able and could get somebody to take me, I got married. That was my only way out. So I married 15, 17 my son was born, and 19 I flew the coop. Because a long time ago I had made a decision that no one walking on this earth would ever discipline me again the longest day I lived. But the most important thing was I forgot to discipline myself. I went into so many things that was foreign to my nature, that I wasn't able to understand, that my behavior was not acceptable to me. And because I couldn't live with it, I would pick up a drink. And then when I sobered up, I would never, ever do that again. But the things that I had done on that drunk caused me to eventually pick up another one. And it's like a cog in a wheel. And you get in there and there ain't no way out. And you keep going round and round and round and round. So I went into alcoholism. Alcohol told me where I would sleep and with whom, when I would eat, when I would have a job, where I would live and for how long. Alcohol cracked the whip, and I did the jumping. I made Bellevue in New York because I left South Carolina in 1941. I made Bellevue in New York, and I'm not proud of it. I took a brainwave scan. Because when I was sober, I would go to doctors and I would do whatever I could do not to be able to drink again. I could have bought sobriety, I would have bought it, because I worked like a horse. You know, an alcoholic sober does 2 jobs, their job and someone else's, in order to make enough money to buy their booze when they drink again. I spent it trying to find medical help before we had any publicity on Alcoholics Anonymous. I made Bellevue, 1952, come to see my family, drunk as a skunk. And they put me in Bellevue, in Bull Street. And I took 22 electrical shock treatments. And the only thing I needed at that time was a drink. But they didn't know that, and I didn't know that. When I came out of Bull Street, if any one of you had told me that I was to drink another 2 years, I would have blown my brains out. I know now why God doesn't let any of us know what's coming down the pike. I know it from experience. I bought a car And I worked all day because I didn't drink on my job. I was banquet manager in charge of booths in one of the largest restaurants on Staten Island. And if there's somebody in here from New York, Tavern on the Green. I wrecked my car that night. And they took me to Tarji Street Courthouse on Staten Island. My boss came and got me at 3 o'clock in the morning. He took me home because I was a free woman. I didn't have a husband. He made me take a bath and he put me to bed. And he came back at 10 o'clock and got me again because he knew that if he could get me in the restaurant, that I would do my work and somebody else's. And I wouldn't be picky or choosy about washing glasses or beer mugs or whatever. I would just do anything for you to forgive me for what I just did. I had to make up. I told my daughter-in-law to call AA and have him send somebody out. I didn't come over here all the way from Spartanburg to give you a drunkalog. If you're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, you already know how to drink. You already know what it does to you. And I'm going to stand up here and try to make somebody feel sorry for me. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was walking in here. I qualified as an alcoholic, as far as I'm concerned. Now, what I did, what I had to do was, I had to go to that meeting that night. Now, she had, you know, I've heard people say, I've heard a lot of things in Alcoholics Anonymous that made my head spin all the way around. But I've learned to stay here and let it stop spinning. It don't make no difference to me. I'm entitled to my opinion. You're entitled to yours. I'm not going to try to take yours, and I'm sure hell ain't going to let you have mine. I just read in the paper the other night, the best way to get the last word is to say, you're absolutely right. And to me, that's very good. I heard people say, I heard a guy say in my group, tell her tell him if she wants a program, Alcoholics Anonymous, she has to come and ask for help herself. I was unable to ask for help. Thank God they came anyway. My daughter-in-law asked for me. One of them had a scar from here to here. The other one had no teeth, and it's long before I didn't have any. And at that time, they don't take them out and put in. They take them out, and you wait and 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 wait, and then they put them in. But you don't talk well. You mumble. And I'm 25 years younger than these two women. And they're bums. They're slobs. And I'm way above them. Even though I'm a drunk. I'm clean and I look nice too then. In my opinion, I wouldn't put on paper. But anyway, they went down by the public health hospital and turned around in the middle of the road. It's against the law. I had a wreck the night before. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm with two drunken bums. I don't know where they're going, and I don't know where they're taking me, and I don't know what's going to happen. And I started to say something. And this mumbler who was driving the car said to me, take the cotton out of your ears, put it in your mouth, and don't open it again for 3 months. Drunk but sober, nobody talked to me like that. Just when I was ready, it dawned on me, she's driving. And I said to myself, drop dead, you son of a bitch. You'll never hear another word out of me. They drove up to the meeting and they took me in. Now you can imagine, I got two enemies. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know nothing about these cotton picking people. I never dealt with sober people before. They were not my friends, but I had to keep my mouth shut. Now, I don't know what I heard, and I don't think I heard anything. But they closed the meeting with, we have the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous, and we have this little red book. The Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous you can get for $3.50, and you can pay 25 or 50 cents a week, whatever you can afford, until it's paid for. See any one of the officers after the meeting. Well, you know, I bought the big book because I wanted every one of you bums to know I had $3.50. And a miracle happened. One of the first ones I recognized. You forgot to tell me to read it. And I couldn't have read it anyway. I could have read some words. And some words would have been over my head. And I would have missed the whole story of what I was supposed to do in order to get me straightened out. So I took the book home and I put it on my night table. And we had two meetings a week. We had Tuesday night discussion, Friday night speaker. There might have been two cars in the group. I'm not sure. It cost 50 cents to cross the bridge to go out of Staten Island, and nobody had any money. And we'd pass the kitty, and there'd be a quarter, a Band-Aid, a button, a needle and thread, a safety pin. And somebody in that table, at those tables, needed every one of those things. They were coming out of the back of cars over in Hoboken. They had these old black overcoats on, and they used them for a blanket at night and to keep from freezing on the way to the meeting. And they'd get that safety pin and pin up that coat. Somebody'd be sewing on a button. We didn't have any treatment centers. And each person was trying to save the other person's butt and his own. We went on 12-step calls. The one that had the most sobriety was the one that took the 12-step call. And he took one person with him that didn't have no sobriety much. And your job was to listen. Two men could go to men. Two women could go to women. No woman and man could go to men. No woman and man could go to women. Nobody could go alone. Because you might get your head cut off. Bill Wilson come out from New York and talk, and I wouldn't go to the meeting because I didn't like him. He was worse than I am. Only I had to get up and go to work at 4 o'clock in the morning, go up, get up at 4 and get ready to be to work at 5 o'clock, and he didn't have to work. As far as I was concerned, he was living off this program. See, I had my own ideas. And God bless his soul, he loved to talk. He wanted so much to save the world. Not just one little group of AA people, that wasn't enough for him. He wanted everybody to get into a spiritual way of life and turn their life around and be good people. But the meeting starts at 9 o'clock in New York. It's supposed to be over at 10. He's still going at 11. I gotta go home and go to work at 4. So if anybody said Bill was gonna come, I didn't go there. I'm sorry now. But whatever he said there, he's already said in the books, and I know what he said, so I'm not gonna go crazy over it. He had to do his way, and I have to do mine. I missed a lot of opportunities. I remember one time they sent me to New York to talk with Marty Mann. The damn ferry was late, and it was over with when I got there. I was so upset because I really wanted to talk with her. We were going to be on the podium. And in 1955, that was wonderful. Didn't happen to me. Maybe because my ego would have gotten in the way. You know, God in His mercy knows what we can do. But I got sober on two meetings a week and a lot of 12 steps. Going on a lot of 12 steps calls. Going into New York and answering the telephone. Using money I needed. But our group would commit for 1 week and man, you win. And then another group would commit for 1 week. We didn't have nobody to man the phones. Every 3 months we went to one of the boroughs, it didn't matter, whichever one decided to host. And we went with a little black book, and I would go to you and say, can you speak at my group? If you speak at my group, I'll speak at your group, or I'll get somebody out of my group. And we swapped from group to group. But we booked for 3 months. Only stipulation was, if you can't cover that date, call us 2 days in advance so we can get somebody. Because we'd take somebody out of our group to speak for us. Never had any hassles with that. Always knew where we were going, what we were doing. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful days. Utopia. I'm getting rid of the fear of when am I going to drink again. But I'm still not talking. Most of my friends don't believe that. That you can keep your mouth shut 18 months, but you can. Damn near killed me, but I didn't. I'm older than styrofoam cups. I'm older than Valium. We didn't have to deal with any of that. We didn't have to deal with instant coffee. First 3 months you pick up ashtrays, real ones. And you wash each and every one of them and you dry them and stack them up. And you wash all the coffee cups and you stack them up. The second 3 months you make coffee, you ain't got sense enough the first three. Third 3 months you keep the floors clean because the churches were allowing us in their cellars. And only a few churches could do that because they were prejudiced against Alcoholics Anonymous. Wasn't Alcoholics Anonymous a bunch of drunks? That was the opinion of Staten Island. That's the only place I was at. 6 months you can chair a meeting and read the 12 Steps of the Trevor Traditions. Thank God they didn't ask before that. Wonderful time. Because in between meetings, if we were from the South, we would fry cornbread and cook black eyed peas, and you could come to our house and eat till 4 o'clock in the morning. We didn't care. If you were from New York, they would buy pizza dough and cook it in a skillet, put sugar and butter over it, and you'd eat that. But fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. Didn't get a chance to get drunk because somebody's on the phone. See, they're calling you because they don't want to get drunk either. And that's the way, in a couple of years, we started another meeting. Today on Staten Island, we have 174. See, I know this program works. For a lot of people other than the likes of me. So, they told me I had to use the 12 steps in my daily life. They told me I had to make a 180-degree turn. They told me if I put on my shoe on the right foot every morning, I had to start putting it on the left. We had a lot of fun, real fun. Now I'm like 10 years sober. I haven't taken a fourth step. If you upset me, I eat a cake. You know? better than taking a fourth step. And then the big book said alcohol is but a symptom of my problem. Hell, I don't have that alcoholic symptom anymore. Chocolate cake does the same thing. I'm going to go back a little bit. 3 months into this program, a guy behind me said, "My name is Jim O'Donnell and I'm an alcoholic, and if I have anything to say, I'll discuss it with my priest." That's another person that's got their mouth shut, so I got to see who it is, because, hell, I'm only 38 years old and I'm single. And I'm looking. So I have a car. And they're mopping floors up at Seaview's, these guys. They're off Skid Row. And I decided that he looked all right to me. And I will make a play. And then the cotton-picking grapevine comes out. It says, "There will be no emotional involvement until you're 1 year sober." Another miracle. I heard what I read. My nature was, to hell with you. I'll do what I please. Well, I hung that sucker on the nail and I kept my eye on him, and I took him back and forth to Seaview for 18 months. And one day he said to me, I could say this because he's not here. Meanwhile, see, he'd quit mopping floors because he got sober too. And he'd gone back to his regular job, which is an engineering Exxon tanker. Sober, they would take him back. And he was 90 days at sea and 30 days at home. Another one of my miracles. I would have killed that bum if he'd stayed home all the time. But you see, just at the end of the 30 days, when I'm ready to, he sails away. And 90 days later, I'm so glad to see him, he can do no wrong. I'm still selling liquor, in charge of the banquets, making good money. In 1956, I tell you how he asked me to marry him, because he's not here. He said, "You're using a lot of money for gas, and you're heating that house of yours with oil. I work for Exxon. If we get married, we'll get a 10% discount." I said, "I'll go for that." And so we did it. I want to tell you people about some miracles along then. Jimmy sent me his paycheck, and I didn't spend it. And I didn't sleep with any other man. And we got ourselves together. And we became citizens of these United States and acceptable in society through this fellowship. In 1956, I bought a Studebaker Golden Hawk with four jets. You see, I know that I will never be well. Thank God, I know it. Jimmy came home from sea and he said to me, I just told you, he sent me his check. This Studebaker was white, trimmed in red, and it had 6 miles on it. It was my first new car. It should have been our first new car, but it wasn't. It was mine. He said to me when I come home from work one night, I got to go Tuesday night to Jersey. I'm going to speak. I need the car. I said, I'm going to Mount Vernon, and it's my car. The car stayed in the yard, and he went to Jersey, and I went to Mount Vernon, and we didn't drink. Things like that that you have to take a look at. You know, when I was dating Jimmy and he knew I couldn't read, I knew I was getting better because I let him know I couldn't read. He taught me how to read the 12 traditions. He taught me how to say anonymity. Taught me how to say grandiosity and what it means. Taught me how to say animosity, and I let him. So something other than me was at work. I would have shot him for ever trying to correct me before that. I was coming through Bessemer City, North Carolina to see my family. And they stopped me at 91. They charged me $22. I'm going back a long time. And they gave me 24 hours to get out of North Carolina. The greatest $22 I ever spent in my life. Because I don't speed. I would have killed myself in that cotton picking car if God hadn't let my foot go on that accelerator and go out of control the way I was. To show me that you don't do that if you're straightening up your life. There were so many signposts, so many people, so many things that were put in my life at the right time when I could accept to let me know that I have a new way of life. Now I'm going to tell you about what it's like today. And I wish I could talk all night. The guy comes in the room and he starts talking about a treatment center. I never had no treatment center. Why the hell should you have one? Now I'm supposed to have an open mind. I'm supposed to be willing. I'm supposed to not have no condemnation and no prejudice. And I have to start working on that. See, I thought this was utopia and all I had to do was straighten up a few things and go on to heaven on earth. Well, I got through that with the help of a lot of people. Now I'm sure that I'm well, because that's about the only thing that's going to upset me. Now somebody comes in. 90 meetings in 90 days, and my antennas went up. I never had no 90 meetings in 90 days. I didn't have enough money. There was no way I could have gotten to them. They only had two. Now I have to go working on that. Well, I worked on that through the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. One's as important as the other. Not only for groups. You better use the 12 traditions in your home. Now they start raising hell about dual addicted people. Now I'm a pure alcoholic. Big deal. The only reason that I'm a pure alcoholic is because nobody ever came to me when I was coming out of a drunk and told me this little fellow would make me better. Now everybody's going to bicker. Everybody's going to fight. Now I got to go to work again. There is no condemnation, not even that much. But for the grace of God, there go I don't care what you were doing. Given the gun in the right circumstance, I will kill you. I'm a human being. I came to believe that if we had a vaccine, us people in Alcoholics Anonymous, who are losing a generation of young kids because they're not welcome in many AA rooms because the peers were not dual addicted. And they don't have the strength in their NA rooms, just like we didn't have the strength in our AA rooms when I came in, through prejudice, condemnation. Nobody looks at the slogans, but for the grace of God, there go I. That if we had a drug to vaccine today that would cure cancer, and it would also cure AIDS, we wouldn't let the AIDS patients have it. Spirituality is not for sale. It's for anyone who has the patience to sit in these rooms and understand what we're trying to say, what we're trying to do, and how we're trying to turn our lives around. If they can have the patience after they come out of the 28 days, as green as a horn, and we all know that, because they've been locked up and supervised. If they could sit in those rooms and take the cotton out of their ears and put it in their mouth until they heard what they needed to hear, which requires patience, we wouldn't lose so many of them. If we had some elders who had enough compassion to take them under their wing and tell them the facts of life without appeasing them, without yesing them to death. Tell me the truth, do not love me into my grave. That's my message. I want to give you my 12 steps, how I use them. Not for you to use. But if you could pick anything out of it that you can use, it's free for all of us. I'm a very simple person. I'm uneducated school-wise. I'm not uneducated experience-wise. For that, I'm grateful. We admitted we were powerless. I don't say over alcohol. Man, I know I'm powerless. Over my mother's death, over my two brothers' death, when I thought I should be in utopia and nothing bad should happen to me. Over the cancer operation that I saw my husband through. Over a new knee because I wore the other one out. I thought all the good work I was doing, I shouldn't have to have a new knee. This is after a lot of years in these rooms. You come to believe that there is a heaven and that you might have a chance to get there, but you accept the fact that you're not in heaven yet. Bad things happen to good people. I accepted that I was powerless, and I approved my decision until I accepted it and approved it. I couldn't do it. See, I'm dealing with myself, not the public. Dr. Bob says we have 8 principles, and for God's sakes, let's keep this program simple. I deal with sponsorees today that are educated beyond their intelligence. One of them said, I have 2 degrees. I said, I know, a thermometer has 10. You know what we do with it. The first principle is honesty. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. never said he would. If I refuse to let him, he gave me a free will, he gave me a heart, and he gave me a brain. He meant me to use them. He's not an Indian giver, and you don't take nothing back. He will restore me to sanity if I will let him. The principle is hope. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him. You ever give God your will in the morning and you wait all day long and make 14,000 mistakes because he didn't phone you, he didn't write you no letter, and he didn't send you no telegram? How the hell do you know what to do? So you take it back and take it back and take it back. If I turn my will over to the care of God, he cares about my actions. And he knows that I'm trying to be an honest person. And he knows that I know when I'm doing wrong. And that I can handle. The principle is faith. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Now, I don't stand at the podium and give you my fifth step. Big Book tells me I give it to another human being. You don't care how much I screwed around. You don't care who I was with. You don't care what I did, how many times I got locked up, all beat up, none of that. You want to know why. I want to know why. What caused me to act like this? My conscience, because I was doing things that I couldn't live with. And I only did them when I drank. Now, I couldn't live with them because I did them when I drank. Then when I sobered up and couldn't live with them, I had to drink again. Now, when I wrote them down and put down the bottle and asked God to forgive me, he did when I forgave myself. Now, if I get out of that rut and into making a new way of life for myself, I don't have to do them anymore. Because one day at a time I'm not drinking and I don't need to do them and I'm not carrying that load because I gave it to God and I quit doing it. I firmly believe that if I don't drink, I will never do those things again. I don't know about you. The principle is courage to face up to me and my mess and stop doing it. And then I don't have to have a drink. But I have to go on the rest of my life straightening up and trying to be a better person. I can't just stop and sit there. The principle is courage. Dr. Bob says 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are humility. A friend of mine said, if you say you got it, you just lost it. So I never said I had it. I ain't going to. But he said we need a lot of it, and that's why he has these next five steps down for humility. We're entirely ready to have God remove our character defects. I would have to be humble. Humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings. Humility. A friend of mine said a character defect is something that you're doing that's gnawing at you. Does anybody know what gnawing means? It just keeps coming back and don't go away. That's a character defect. You're unhappy with it. You're still doing it. You humbly ask God to remove this shortcoming, this character defect. That means that character defect, you break your heart not to do it today, 24 hours, just like the liquor. I ask God to remove it. I ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna do it. And you just keep on and on and on, and don't worry about it. Because it'll go away. And you're not free. Another one comes up. And you can start all over. We ain't going nowhere. We're not going to get well. We have no diplomas. And you got something that will always keep you busy and occupied. Indian too. Made an installed person with harm and became willing to make amends to them all. Didn't say I made them. I got to sort out what I can and can't do. Whether I'm strong enough to take a rejection or whether I'm not. I got to figure out between me and my God what I can do about this and do it without copping out. Made to direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And I'm one of the others. So I have to do a lot of thinking on that. If I'm going to go and try to do something and you're going to destroy me and I'm not going to be able to not let you, I don't do it. I ain't going to do it today. I didn't say I wouldn't do it, but I ain't ready yet. If I slept with your husband and I can't get rid of it, I can't come and tell you. Because you didn't have nothing to do with that action. I can't hurt you. I have to pray to the God of my understanding until I get forgiven. I can't destroy another human being. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Sometimes I can, and sometimes I can't. I just do the best I can on a daily basis. But I don't have a cat of nine tails. I ain't whipping myself to death. I'm just doing the best I can. The principle is responsibility. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. God of my understanding didn't make no junk. He gave me the strength when I was born to walk a straight and narrow path. He gave me a free will and I chose to do different. I have the same power. I have to pray for His knowledge. And I have to accept it and do what I think is His will. I don't always do that. I get into a lot of trouble. The principle is patience. You can't pray for them. You have to practice and practice and practice and practice. Practice more. Having had a spiritual awakening, 12, as a result of these steps, we carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. The principle is charity, and we all know that's love. And it begins in the home. Don't sit in these rooms like a sanctimonious saint and go home and chop your husband's head off or your wife's head off or your children. I tell my husband, treat me like you treat all AA members and we'll be just fine. We have to start to learn to live and let live. And to realize that none of us are perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. And we're going to talk about it and try to do better. And for the young people, if you could just sit in here for 3 months and find out whether or not you want to do this. Don't blow it 3 days after you come out of a treatment center and say, AA doesn't work for me. AA doesn't work for me either. I work for AA, for the principles of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. And I pray a lot. And I walk away from a lot of things that I could get hurt. Just when I thought I was in utopia for the last time, with this 37 and better years of sobriety, I have 5 grandchildren moved down here from New York in my hometown. And all of them have children. And not a one of those families operate the way I think they should. And I could go in there with my wisdom, and man, could I straighten them out. And they would never ever have another problem. But I make about 5 meetings a week. God didn't go on vacation and leave me in charge. And I never listen to nobody either. And so I don't have to bother. My husband goes crazy sometimes. Because he thinks I should say this or do that. But you see, that's not my problem. That's his. You're not going to put a 21-year-old head on an 8-year-old kid. And you're not going to make a 35-year-old man worry about Social Security and retirement. And so when they buy their fancy cars and they do all their things that 70-year-old people don't think is very good, you say, I love you, God bless you, do whatever you have to, it ain't none of my business. And I want to thank Al-Anon for that. Because Alcoholics Anonymous gave me back my life. Al-Anon gave my husband a wife. And the 12-step program in both taught me how to live just for today. Just for today. If you don't have a sponsor, you get one and you ask 3 questions. Do you have a sponsor? If they don't have a sponsor, you don't need them. They're not going anywhere. They've already arrived. If they have a sponsor, you ask them what step they're working on. If they finish them all, run like hell. If they're working on a step, you ask them about a chapter in the big book. Dr. Tebow says, my ego is alive and well, and it will never die. But I can arrest it on a daily basis. If your sponsor doesn't understand the chapter that you're asking him about, he will go home or she will go home and read it that night. Because they cannot stand to let you grow more than they do. And you'll all get better together. I want to thank you people for having me. I don't even know what time it is. I want to leave you with something I stole from somebody else in these rooms. And it goes like this. I searched for love and love eluded me. I searched for a God, and God I could not see. I searched for a friend, and in rooms like these, I found all 3. Thank you.